Bibles again, if you would, tonight. And I know we've had a full service almost already. And so some are saying, how long is this man going to carry on tonight? But I think we'll get out in a reasonable time here. But I still have something, a little bit of a load I want to deliver before the day's over here. Ephesians, please. Chapter number one. And I want to pick up in verse number 7. Would you all stand with me as we read the word of God tonight? In verse number 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. What can wash away my sins? Answer me, church. Nothing but the blood. Amen? Nothing but the blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Father, we pray now you'd bless tonight your word, and we ask it that you would anoint for the preaching and anoint those who are listening to be good hearers of the word of God tonight. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. This morning in Sunday school, we talked about the corruption of this world, the darkness of this world that we are living in. And then at 11 o'clock, we talked about the blessed be God the Father, talked about who he was and what he has done for us. We talked about him being the eternal God and the creator and the redeemer and the comforter and the shepherd and the coming Lord, the Elohim, the El Shaddai, the Adonai, the I Am, our comforter, our shield, our buckler, our high tower. And we talked about him being worthy to be praised. Amen. And then we talked about his work in our life. And we talked about being chosen of God. And I said, this is not the damnable doctrine of Calvinism, which says, this is a horrible doctrine, by the way, to think that God would look down and say, you get to go to heaven, but you got to go to hell. It's just an unbelievable thing in my mind. I don't believe that's the kind of God we serve at all. Amen. When he sent his son to the cross, he tasted death for every man. And so we talked about that we're chosen to be holy and unblameable in the sight of God. We talked about being adopted, chosen of God. He chose to allow us to come in to his family. Don't we praise God for that tonight? And then to be accepted in the family, to know that, hey, listen, we can come into the family of God. I talked about having written my funeral directions, and there was a song come out. I'm sure that you all have heard this song, I Can Go In. And I like that part. You know, they talk about the martyrs, and I'm not the martyr, and the prophets, and I'm not a prophet. But then it comes down to the sinner saved by grace that says, I can go in. Amen. So I told my family, that's when you're going to lead my casket out of there and let them know I'm leaving that place. My body's leaving that place, but I've already gone in. Amen. I've already gone in because I've been accepted in the beloved. Amen. He has done all that needs to be done for my salvation, and I have repented of my sins and trusted him for eternal life, and I am a child of God. That is the work of the Father. But I want to talk about just briefly tonight the work of the Son and the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. The work of the Son is found there beginning in verse number 7. In verse number 7 it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Now let me just say to you that we're living in a markedly wicked day of so-called prophets that are preaching messages that are full of lies. And one of them is that you do not need the blood of Jesus Christ to be born again. In fact, one such preacher, author, TV preacher, who's in California, and I'll say no more than that, says in his commentary on Hebrews that the blood is not necessary for salvation, only the death of Christ. And yet I want to say to you that the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Sins are not forgiven unless the blood is applied. I love it because as you go back even to the book of Genesis with Cain and Abel, and Cain brings the fruit of his hands, that's works, amen? But Abel brings an offering, a blood sacrifice, and that blood was accepted. I think of when the plagues came and they were told, listen, the death angel is going to pass by, amen? And as he passes by, he's going to look, and the blood will need to be applied. And if the blood is applied, I will pass over you, amen? I'll pass by because of the blood in the Old Testament, that perfect lamb was to be picked out, and that lamb was to be slain, and that blood was a covering for sin. Now we know in the Old Testament it never took away sin, the blood of the animals. In fact, the Bible says in Hebrews that the blood of bulls and goats could never ever take away sin. It took the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down at the right hand of God. And I love what he said on the cross. It is finished. Amen. I've done what needs to be done. He redeemed us. You say redeemed? Yes. He took us back out of the slave market of sin. He took us away from the dominion and power of the devil who had us. You know, the Bible says in John 8:44 that until we're born again, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. And so the reality is we're underneath the slavery of sin. We're underneath the bondage of sin. But when Jesus gave his blood, he bought us back out of the slave market of sin. He purchased us out of the corruption of this world that we talked about this morning. And he set our feet on the solid rock, Christ Jesus. Amen. Oh, I'm so thankful for the work of redemption. Would you turn with me in your Bibles there to 1 Peter chapter 1? 1 Peter chapter 1. I know there are many great verses that finish out this story, but I want to just read 1 Peter chapter 1, excuse me, in verse 18. 1 Peter 1 and verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. By the way, let me stop there. The Bible says no man can redeem his brother. It doesn't matter, by the way, what the world might try to use to redeem their soul out of hell. It still comes back to the song tonight, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Now look at this. So he said, you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times. I love this. For you. For you. Aren't you glad for Jesus tonight? Amen. That he redeemed us with his own precious blood. But not only is the work of the Son to bring us back, buy us back out of the slave market of sin, but it is to give us forgiveness. Would you look at our text again and notice in verse 7, he said, in whom we have redemption. And then he tells us how, we just read that, through his blood. And then he says the forgiveness of sin. And so the reason for that is under the Old Testament economy, they would offer the blood of the bulls and the goats, and there'd be a year of covering. Are you all with me tonight? So their sins would be covered for a period of time, for a period of a year. And then the priest, guess what he had to do? He had to go back in to the holy place and offer offerings. And by the way, the Bible calls them the same offerings which could never take away sin. In other words, they go back and they'd offer and offer and offer and offer. And there'd be covering for a period of year, because that blood was a picture of the blood to come. The blood that would not cover sins for a period of a year, but would take them all away. That would bring total forgiveness for us. Now, can I say this? I hear this every once in a while. Well, I hope when I get to heaven, I just get what I deserve. Oh, friend, I don't want what I deserve. I deserve to go to hell. I'm a sinner saved by grace tonight. I'm not getting what I deserve. I'm getting the grace of God. I'm getting forgiveness, not because I'm worthy of it, not because my works provided a basis of forgiveness, but because God loved me and gave his only begotten Son for me. Amen. I have 9 grandkids. You know, grandkids are wonderful. Anybody have grandkids? I thought you were going to raise your hand. You kind of going to say, well, you're a young grandpa. I love the grandkids. Right now we have 8 of our 9 grandkids live within 5 miles of us. So I get them every Sunday. My wife sent me a picture of my big chair today. And 4 of the little ones were sitting in my chair. They wanted me to know they took over when Poppy left home. I love the kids. And you know, one of them, she'll be 10 in December. Her name's Gemma, J-E-M-M-A. Gemma means jewel, and she's a jewel. I love her so much. And when I was home and she was, you know, just a baby, and mom homeschools, and so sometimes I'd get to have her over at the house. And I took care of her. I changed diapers. I burped her. I did all those things. And then as she got a little bit older, she wanted to swing. So I put a swing up out on the tree out front, and I'd push her. And we've had some major conversations out there. I mean, from the time she talked very early and had a really good vocabulary when she was in her second year, you know, and I'm serious, major conversations, you know. One day she said to me, Pop, you know, the wind can't just blow. God had to make it blow. That's pretty good, amen? That's pretty good. And then she got up, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5. And one day somebody mentioned dying at church. And she said, Pop, what's dying all about? And I said, well, honey, it's something all of us have to do. We're all going to die and shed these old bodies. And then we're going to, if we're a child of God, we get a new body in heaven. And we're going to live forever together with Jesus. Amen. And I said, you know what? I said, Pop and Nan are going to die someday. But it's okay because our bodies are going to die, but our souls are never going to die because we have everlasting life. She looked at me just serious as a heart attack. And she said, you can't die. Because if you die, I'll have to make a statue of you. Because I want you to always be around. Now that'll crush your heart right there. Now can you imagine me putting her or any one of my grandkids on the cross? I was going to tell you, I like y'all. I think you're pretty cool. But I wouldn't do that for you. I wouldn't do that for you. I'd look at those kids and I'd say, I can't give them up for the likes of even this crowd that I really love and respect. And I've enjoyed being here today. I've enjoyed the spirit. I've enjoyed the vivacious music, the spirit in which it's been given. I've enjoyed all that. But I wouldn't give one of my grandkids, I wouldn't put them on a cross for you. But I want to say to you tonight, God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son. Right, Scott? That's what you said tonight in the verse. Amen. And not only did he redeem us back, but with that redemption came forgiveness. I don't know, maybe you've never been mad at anybody. Well, my wife and I, we've been married, this coming June will be 54 years. And, you know, we've learned a lot in 54 years. But in those early days, you know, sometimes we made some mistakes, you know. You learn how to get along together. One day I must have made her mad. I don't know what happened. Oh, I do know what happened. I remember now what happened. It just came to me. I was at the altar. And I was waiting for people to come as part of my job at the church. And this young girl came forward and she didn't say, can I talk to you about it? She just did this around me. My wife got super jealous. I said, girl, I didn't ask her to put her arms around me. In fact, I'll take care of it and tell her not to do that again. And she was real young. Somehow this will get back to her, I know. And she was in there on the bed, pounding the pillow. And I thought, well, this is quite a show. I'd never seen that show before. So I just went in the closet and closed the door. Then I hung out till she quit going through all those gyrations. And then I said, are you done? That was not the right thing to say. But you know what was the fun part of that? Was making up and getting it all right and allowing forgiveness to take place. I don't know if you've ever had a real problem with somebody and anger really filled your soul, but you gave forgiveness. Amen. You ever had somebody offend you? I've had people offend me. And I'd like to have given them a knuckle sandwich. But God says, don't give them a knuckle sandwich. Well, that isn't what God says. What God said, what God says is this. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Isn't that what the Bible says? Boy, that's a hard thing. Someone's really treated you wrong. And you're on your knees and say, God, I'm praying for so and so. And Lord, bless them as much as you can. And then the more you pray for them, the more your heart tenders. I can tell you, I've had people offend me. This is true. And they've never, ever asked my forgiveness. But I have forgiven them. And if they would say, let's go out and have lunch together, I'd say, okay, as long as you pay for it, I'll go. No, all joking aside, I could do that because I have forgiven them. It gives a great feeling in the heart to be able to release hatred and strife. Come on now. Can you think, though, that God, the God of the universe, who created us, we've already seen to be what? Holy and unblameable. And look at me. Do we act holy all the time? Come on, talk to me, church. You know you don't. Are we unblameable all the time? No. We know tonight that we must disappoint our Savior. Come on. And yet he says, when I saved you, I forgave you. The slate is clean in spite of our own behavior. And you know the reason for that? Let me tell you the reason for that. The reason for that is that our righteousness is not our own. It is imputed, that it is put in us, the righteousness of God in us. Amen. And we have forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this forgiveness is amazing. It's through his blood. And it's by his grace. You know what grace is? I know there's a ton of definitions for grace, but mine is the best. It simply means God has divinely interfered for us. He has divinely intervened in our life. He has done for us what we could not do for ourselves. Amen. His grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. He gave us redemption. He gave us forgiveness. And look at verse 9. He not only did that, but he revealed the mystery of his will. I don't have a lot of time to deal with this, but look at verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Now, what is his will? Look at verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. What was his will? The Bible says in the book of 2 Peter, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but look, is long-suffering toward us. And what is that long-suffering for? You know the rest of the verse? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the mystery of his will. It is a mystery to me. It's always been a mystery to me how God could love us as we are.
Yeah.
Doesn't that amaze you? You ever been around somebody and you think, my goodness? I had a guy in my church at Westgate for a while. And we had a program on Sunday morning. We had between our church and our school. In our college, we had about 55 staff members. And so, on Sunday morning, we did what we call shake and bake. And I did come up with that, thank you very much. We shook hands, and we baked relationships. People like to be loved. And so we'd go along, and while we were doing that, we'd ask if they had prayer requests, and sometimes, something wrong. And they'd write that down. After church, I'd get that. So-and-so's mad at you because you parted your hair on the wrong side. Yeah. You know, whatever it was. But I'd know how to pray. And so we'd bake relate. Well, we had this one guy. He sat right about where you are. And look grumpy like you look. No, I'm just kidding. He's been smiling all night and singing. I'm just, I pick on the not so obvious. So my other. Okay, let's move on. And I said, how are you? And he said, well, nobody shakes my hand. I said to him, well, is it any wonder? I don't want to shake your hand. Acting like that. You know, we have gators in Florida. You ever been around a gator? It's kind of a wild sound when that mouth comes down like that. And it goes, people thought if they went by him, they were going to get their head snapped off. And I said to him, "Brother, he that hath friends must show himself friendly. Get up out of this pew and walk with me. And let's meet some people today." And I left, went home that day, and I thought, "Whew, where did we get this guy?" And then the Lord just kind of rebuked me and said, "You know what? I love that guy. He even loves you. And he loves me." It's amazing to me. And he saves us and he forgives us. And then he wants us to share his love with the whole world. He wants us to go to those who are unworthy and share the light. That's the mystery of his will. Listen, the whole purpose for which we live. Can you get this? It's not to build that new house. It's not to have that new car. It's not to put away in your bank account. Because let me tell you, I was in Hungary many, many years ago when the president devalued the money and little old ladies were bringing home coins, thousands upon thousands of coins in a wheelbarrow, and they were worth nothing. And that day's coming here, by the way, just a warning. It's coming. You remember I told you so. And here's the thing. We don't have time to sit around in our churches and play games. We've got to understand God saved us so that we could go get others and bring them in. Bring them in. Go out and bring them in. Bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Amen. That's the mystery of his will, that we go into all the world. I'll tell you what's a plague in our churches tonight is that we see those missionaries over there and we give to Faith Promise. God bless you for doing that. It's important. It's necessary. But that does not exempt you from being part of the will of God, the mystery of the gospel to win men and women and boys and girls to the Lord. And it's time to rise up in our churches and get busy winning the lost. Amen. So he redeemed us and he forgave us and he revealed the revelation of his will. And then in verse 11, I like this. He says, "In whom also, this is what God's son did for us. We also have obtained an inheritance." We have an inheritance. Now let me ask you this. Do you understand what an inheritance is? Anybody? Well, no, I don't want to know if you had an inheritance. You'll think I'm trying to hit you up for money. So I don't want to know. So you know that rich uncle? No, neither did I. I didn't either. Whoever that rich uncle was, he didn't know me. I've never gotten anything. When my dad died, my dad had a fourth grade education. He was a carpenter all his life. I don't know how many times in my high school days I'd work with him all week, and the little old lady would give him a check for maybe $300 or something. And we'd get halfway home and he'd say, "I can't take that lady's money. I know she doesn't have that." And we'd turn around and my dad would give that check back. We didn't have much. You know what? We were poor as church mice. We really didn't. But here's the beauty. We didn't know how poor we were. And we all had good time. We had fun. Amen. Life was good. But here's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to tell you that we just never had, my dad never gave me any money. When he died, I paid for his, my brothers and sisters and I paid for his funeral. Right. He had nothing. I had a lady in the first church I planted in Boston. She came to see Mrs. Turner and I, and she said, "I just want to thank you for winning me to Christ. And my doctor says that, you know, I'm not doing too well, and I've signed papers. And so when I die, you're going to get my inheritance." And I don't know what she had, still don't know what she had. And about maybe 6 months before she died, she married some guy and he got it. I thought, what a bummer. I was this close to getting an inheritance, amen. That is funny, isn't it? I thought about being a stand-up comedian, but my wife says it wouldn't work. I thought my uncles, maybe they'd give me something, but they drank everything away. But I want to tell you this tonight. My Savior gave me an inheritance. Somebody said, I just don't have this and I don't have that. Well, I don't have this and I don't have that right now. But everything God has is mine. I'm an heir with God and I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Everything they have belongs to Bruce Turner. Belongs to me. I share in it because God has given me an inheritance. You know, one of the great inheritances we have is a place called heaven. I'd like to preach on heaven this week, but that's not what God told me to do. What a wonderful subject. What a wonderful subject. Heaven. A place God promised. A place he went to prepare. And a place he said, I'm going to come again one day.
Yes.
And if you're in the grave, don't worry. I'll get you out of the grave. And if you're left behind in the pews over there at Bellingham Baptist Church, I'll just snatch you out of the pew. Amen. But I want you to know I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. When my dad died, I started praying, Lord, what should I preach for my daddy's funeral? And God took me to John 17, that high priestly prayer. And Jesus is talking to the Father and saying, you know, you've given me all these souls and I'm coming home now. And so you need to give them a comforter until they come home. And he says, but Lord, Father, I want them to come home with me to be where I am and to behold your glory. And that's what I preach. Listen, when God's ready, he brings us home to share in the glory of heaven. Amen. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful inheritance. I'm almost finished. What Jesus did was redeemed us, forgave us, revealed his will to us, gave us an inheritance. And then lastly tonight, the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit. You see, sometimes we don't say much about the Holy Spirit. The Pentecostal crowd has stolen our thunder because they abused the subject of the Holy Spirit. We're afraid to talk about it. But can I say to you tonight, the Bible gives us much about the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Not three separate gods, but three distinct offices of one God. And God, I showed you this morning what he had done for us. I showed you tonight what Jesus has done for us. Let me show you what the Holy Spirit did for us in chapter 1. In verse 13, it said, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. May I tell you about the seal of our redemption? First of all, here's what he said. You didn't get it until you first heard the gospel. Can I say to you tonight, the world cannot receive the seal of God's salvation through the Spirit of God until they are privileged to hear from us about the mystery of God's will, the gospel. Amen? Bible says, how shall they hear without a preacher? The Bible says that the feet of those that bear good tidings, they're beautiful feet. Have you ever looked at your feet lately? Friend, there's nothing beautiful about feet. It's the ugliest part of the body. The only thing that makes it beautiful is when it is used to carry the gospel to a lost and dying world.
Yes.
He said, first of all, they have to hear. And then secondly, he said they have to believe. Look at verse 13. After they heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, it says after they heard that word of truth and believed, look, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You must hear and you must believe, must trust in the things of God, the seal of the Holy Spirit. And look at this in closing, the earnest of our redemption. Now, some of you are way too young to understand. Let me just ask you, how many understand the word earnest? Okay, you do. You young people know what earnest means, okay? You say, well, it means sincere. Well, that's not what it means here. When I was growing up, that's what you thought too, isn't it? No, they're not going to admit it. Listen, when I was growing up, my dad bought a house to put all his six kids in. My mom and dad and six kids. And I remember him coming home from the bank and saying, old Mr. Johnson's willing to give us a loan for the house, but he wants to know what the earnest will be. In other words, what the down payment is. And so we talked, mom and dad talked about it and decided what they could do and went back and told old Mr. Johnson what they could do. And Mr. Johnson gave a loan, but not until there was an earnest payment, a down payment. And that down payment went like this. If you default on your payments and you do not pay your bill, I will come and I will take the earnest and I will take the possession because I own it until you pay for it.
Right.
When Jesus saved us, we were sealed by his Spirit. Now hear this. I met someone the other day. I was preaching in a church and I did Sunday school lesson on eternal security. And one guy said to me afterwards, don't you think that even though the Lord said he saved us and we couldn't be snatched out of his hand, that we could jump out? I said, dude, are you so arrogant as to believe that when God seals you, you can break God's seal?
Right. Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
You know what God did? You need to think about this tonight. He sealed us. That doesn't just mean we're secure in our salvation, but it means we're a special possession that he intends to come back and get.
Yeah.
It means that tonight, in this darkness we talked about in Sunday school and all of this goings on around us, and we begin to think, what a terrible day to live in, and has God forsaken us? I want to remind you tonight that he has sealed you. He's got his eye on you. Not even a sparrow can fall that he doesn't recognize. Not even a hair can come out of my head. Many of them are come out of my head that he doesn't know. And he knows the numbers of hair on my head. And he knows who he sealed. And he's coming back for you someday. That's how the song ended tonight. He's coming back.
Amen.
He's coming back. Aren't you thankful for that? I'm so glad that in this day of darkness, we can look at the work of the Father, the work of the Son, and the work of the Holy Ghost, and know that we're special to God.
Yeah.
And I want to end by saying this tonight. How special is God to you? During this revival meeting, I pray that we'll give up maybe some of our desire to sit tight and not let God convict us. And you know what I'm seeing all over the country, brother? Our churches are burrowing in and they're not coming forward. We're not kneeling at the altar. I'm not saying you have to come to the altar. But I tell you, there's something about when God strikes your heart and you get up and you walk to the altar and kneel down there and just kind of seal the deal that God's working in your heart with. And I think we've lost that. And you know what? Our children don't come to the altar much anymore. You know why? Because they're watching mom and dad. And mom and dad don't go to the altar. We need to be careful that when God speaks. Hear me now. We respond. Amen. We respond. Would you stand with me tonight?